We have just sung the song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. We cannot reach out and touch God's hand. We know this because God is a spirit. We are told that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is a way for us to describe a particular thing. It is to design, these words are, so that we might understand that we are to always have respect for God, loyalty to God, and following his word. That is the title of our sermon this morning, Respect for God. And if you have your Bibles handy, turn to Psalms 119, 1 through 7. This, again, comes from the pen of the psalmist as directed by the Spirit. And he writes in this particular location, Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. If there is a problem with the church today, it is on the human side. It is easy for us to look out among our brethren, to look on each other, and to point out someone else's fault. But fault always needs to be laid where it belongs. If there's a problem with the church today, it is on the human side. There is no weakness in the spiritual part of the church. There is no flaw in the spiritual part of the church. There is no blemish in the spiritual aspect or the spiritual part of the church. God is perfect. His plan is perfect. Christ is perfect. The church which he purchased with his blood, therefore, is perfect. The word delivered to man by the Holy Spirit is perfect. People today oftentimes quibble about passages. And they'll say, well, my Bible says it this way, and my Bible says it that way. And if you look at this particular translation, it says it this way. Keep in mind that if there are any problems with God or the church, or if there are any problems with God's word, man has created those problems. There are no mistakes in God's word. As I said before, his plan is perfect, is perfectly laid out, and the means by which the reward God offers is properly put forth. It's clearly put forth. There is no way that you can misunderstand the plan of salvation. It is simple. It is pure. It is perfect. And you cannot misunderstand it unless you have help to misunderstand it. And yes, there's many out there who will try to help you misunderstand the word of God. But these translations, these lack of teaching properly, all of these things show a lack of respect to God. The word of God is good. The plan of God is good. And God has provided to humanity perfect gifts as he gave us his word, as he gave us opportunity. James chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us where every good and perfect gift comes from. If you can think of anything in the world and the fact that it is truly good, you can know and know assuredly that it comes from God. Because James was directed to write, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has always been perfect. He has never become imperfect. He has never changed. He will not change. There is no shadow of turning with him. There is no variableness. Therefore, if there are problems with the church today, and in many places there are, it is the fault of man. Today, I want to direct our minds to focus upon a problem that is at the core of liberalism. It is at the core of liberalism with individuals. It is at the core of liberalism with congregations. And it is important that we understand that this does not come from God. Matter of fact, it comes from a lack of respect for God. Many people throughout the world are saying, you know, we love God. I'm not going to doubt that. But the same people will say, we respect God, yet they do not do what God has commanded. And if you say that you respect God, and then you don't do what he commanded, that is a classic case of actions speaking louder than words. Lack of respect for God is evidenced by mockery of God. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, again, we appeal to the words of the psalmist. Of course, all the words of the Bible are given by God. Every word of it is true. Every word of it is perfect. And the psalmist was directed in this particular location to write, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." There are people that are teaching other people that there is no God. They might very well say things like, "Have you ever seen God?" Well, the obvious answer is no. God is a spirit. You're not going to see God. Well, then how do you know that he exists? I've never seen India, but I'm pretty certain it's there. There are many states in this nation that I've never visited, but I'm pretty sure they're there. And people say, well, how do you know that? Well, have you seen a globe? It's a representation of where all of these places are, all of these things, these bodies that you can go to, you can stand on, and you say, well, that's just showing you where these things are. How do you know that they are? Well, just like I know that North Carolina is. We happen to be in North Carolina at this point. If we were not able to be in North Carolina, we could still rest assured that it is there because we have been there. And at the same time, we can go to that same source. We can go to the globe. We can go to the map. And we can see the state of North Carolina outlined. But how do we know God is? Because his word says that God is. If you stop and think, the first three words of the Bible, in the beginning, I can't count, in the beginning, God, four words, tells us that God is. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, notice what else it says about that fool. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. Those who have no respect for God will buy into the fact that God is not. In Psalms chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, we will see that there are those, even though they might very well admit that God is, they will not seek after him. It's a mockery of God. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. Those who are wicked, those who are evil, those who are of the world. And when I say this, I don't mean that they have to be vile criminals. When I say wicked and I say evil, those who do not have a respect for God mock God when they do not seek after God. God is not in their thoughts. They don't think about God. And in verse 5 we read, his ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. For as all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. They're setting themselves up for a huge fall, but they're mocking God. Why? Because they don't have respect for God. In Psalms chapter 10 and verse 13, the question is asked, wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. They think that there are no consequences for our actions. They think, well, you know, I'll get through this life. I'll do as I want to do. And I don't have to worry about God, because when it's all said and done, God's going to say, well, you did okay. Come on in. But that's not what we're told in the New Testament. That's not what they were told in the Old Testament either. But in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we find out there are consequences for our practices of sin. There are consequences for the things we do. There are consequences if we fail to respect God. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to these Galatians brethren, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We understand this when it comes to horticulture. We understand the type of seed that is placed into the ground will produce that kind of plant. But we don't think about it when it comes to us because we're mocking God. We think God's not going to require of us punishment for sins and wickedness. In verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Those who mock God are those who live according to the flesh, those who live for themselves. Lack of respect for God causes superficial actions toward God. Many people think, well, you know, I get up every Sunday and I go to church. I'm told my father-in-law preached a sermon several different times, gone to church but missed the worship. And I'm sure other people have preached similar sermons. Very good sermon. I perhaps should get one up myself. But this is talking about superficial actions toward God. And Jesus spoke about those types of people. Those who did not respect God. Those who claimed to be the people of God. Those who were, in fact, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, those of whom Jesus spoke were God's people. It was Israel. And those people who were not following God, notice what Jesus said about them. These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their mind was not focused upon the Lord. And insincere worship and insincere living resulted from their lack of respect to God. These superficial actions toward God are when people make excuses. Excuses are not something God is interested in. Jesus himself was not interested in them, nor the superficial acts that they were trying to excuse. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, we see this. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That is a great proclamation. That is a proclamation that every child of God today has made and should stand by. Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou go. Jesus said unto him in verse 58, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. Now you notice what happens when a person who does not want to follow the Lord, or who wants to just make the claim that they're following the Lord and they won't really do so, they begin to make excuses. In the religious world today, there are countless hundreds, maybe even thousands, perhaps even millions of people gathering together, claiming to serve God and do His will. But then when it's brought to their attention about a problem with a particular aspect of their worship, they'll begin to make excuses. Why? Because they don't have respect for God, nor respect for God's word. In this particular passage, the excuse was, when Jesus said unto another, follow me, he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Now, when you look at that particular situation, there's no evidence whatsoever that this man's father had died. In other words, when all of the things that I deem important in this life have been taken care of, then I will put forth some effort towards serving thee. And when Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, those who are spiritually dead can bury the physical dead. Those who would be spiritually alive, they will not produce superficial actions toward God. Why? Because they have a respect for God. What did he say? Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Keep in mind, when Jesus said this, the kingdom had not occurred. It had not begun. It was not an entity yet. Yes, it did exist in the mind of God, but yet it had not been the law of God, the will of God had not been fulfilled, and it had not begun here on the earth. Jesus was still alive. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. again. All that's doing is saying, you know, let me make a show of saying that I'm going to serve God. It's a superficial thing. Why? Because they don't have respect for God. Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Those who are familiar with the kingdom of God know that it came about because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Where's our sacrifice? Listen, if we do not have respect for God, we will not sacrifice. But in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, Jesus tells what respect for God will cause one to do. He called the people unto him with his disciples, those who were already following him and those who he wanted to follow him, those who were interested in the miracles that he had done and the things that he was able to produce for them. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And this is a very simple, simple way of saying, those who will follow me, put me first. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Those who do not have respect for God will look at their soul and say, I want my soul to be happy. I want my soul to enjoy, but I want it to enjoy what I want it to enjoy. They'll give up things. This passage tells us that you've profited nothing if you gain the whole world and lose your soul. In verse 38, he said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. He did not want superficial action toward God or toward himself. We have multiple passages which show this. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. The church had been established. The church had been in place for a number of years at this point when this was written. This is written directly to a congregation. It is written directly to this congregation because they failed in their present state to respect God. It describes many Christians today. What is the cause of lukewarmness? Plain and simple, a lack of respect for God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. In other words, take a position. Hold that position. Either serve me or don't. Because if you're halfway serving me, you're not serving me. If you're lukewarm, you're not serving me. You have no respect for God. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. In other words, these people were looking upon the physical trappings of this life and saying, we've got everything. We got it made. He says, thou knowest not, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And he was talking about their spiritual condition. Spiritually, they had no respect for God. And yes, if they continued in that particular sad state, they would be spewed out of the mouth of God. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, again, we see that superficial actions toward God were not accepted even under the old law. Malachi is the last book that we have of the Old Testament. And for 450 years, God did not communicate to his people Israel as he was preparing them for the advent of his son, the Messiah. But during that time, they were to worship God. They were to have respect for God. They were to have respect for the law of God. And there we read, a son honoreth his mother and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? We know that under the law that the son was supposed to honor the father, and if God was the father of spiritual Israel in the Old Testament, physical Israel in the Old Testament, where's his honor? If I be a master, where's my fear, saith the Lord? Where's the respect that I should have? Why don't you do what I want you to do? He asked this of the priest, those that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? And he answers the question, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. We say, well, you know, we don't have altar today. No, this is talking to the Jews under the old law. They were required to do certain things. They were required to keep the showbread there. They were required to sacrifice. They were required to provide a certain type of animal for a particular sacrifice. There was a number of different things that they were requested and required and commanded to do under the law. And if they did not respect God, they would not follow the law, or they would only partially follow it. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And then you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now here's the point. Verse 8 says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? What did the law say? Go to the flock. Take one that is without blemish. One that's not blind or maimed or halt or lame. Bring your best to the master. He said, and if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. Leftovers for God shows a total lack of respect for him. You get paid at the end of the week, or you get paid at the end of the month, or you get paid whenever you get paid. And you, if you're wise, you have a budget. And you say, well, I have a budget, and here's my budget. I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got that. And we say, well, there are certain things that you cannot do without. We all require a place to live. It doesn't have to be a mansion. But regardless of what it is, we possibly have a mortgage. Okay, that's important. Put it on the line. Well, you know, I have to be able to convey myself from place to place, so I've got to have an automobile. Okay, and if you have a new automobile and you don't have the funds to go out and pay it off, that's a budget item. And we can go right on down the list. But what happens a lot of times with people is that they will set up a budget, and the first line is mortgage, and the second line is a car, and the third line is I got to have clothing, and wait a minute, I forgot eating. I got to have all these things. And if you've ever been to the grocery store, at least lately, you can find out that you can walk out with three or four bags and spend $100 or more. But what have they forgotten? Oh, wait a minute. It's Sunday. Here's a dollar. Here's what's left over. God didn't accept leftovers under the old law. He doesn't accept leftovers now. And the same thing is true with our time, with our efforts. Insincerity toward God and his law has its consequences. Look in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. God, of course, speaking to Moses and Aaron. What did he tell them to do? Lead my people out of Israel. Moses began making excuses. You know, I'm of a slow tongue or whatever this situation, that situation. God says, no problem. I got this covered. I got Aaron for you. He's going to help you. But then they still broke the law of God. And insincerity toward God or superficial actions toward God has consequences. Moses and Aaron were great leaders of God's people, Israel. But the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, listen, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. They suffered for 40 years in the wilderness. I say suffered because they wandered in the wilderness. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God fed them. But in their minds, they suffered. Yet, because of lack of respect for God, they were not allowed to lead the people into the promised land. As time's getting away from us, I have a couple more points I want to make relative to respect of God and the lack of respect for God. Lack of respect for God affects how we hear. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Luke was directed by the Holy Spirit to write, take heed therefore how ye hear. Is recording what Jesus said. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. We've got to be careful how we hear. We also have to be careful as to what we hear. when something is presented, if it's not right, we have to know whether or not it's right, or at least be able to go and look it up and find out if it's not right. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 and following, we find that as the Spirit had the penman of the book of Hebrews to write to those Jews, those who were in danger of apostasy because they were flirting with the idea of going back under the old law, he reminds them. He says, "For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor to blackness and darkness and tempest," talking about the old law, "and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. If so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." These people were in the presence of God. And then he says to them, the Hebrews, in that advanced age, after the establishment of the church, verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, or to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." And he goes on to say, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And then in verse 25, he says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." Jesus Christ was given all authority. And these pieces, these people, were supposed to listen to what Jesus said. And they would listen if they had respect unto God. In Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2, we find out that some of God's children needed to be reminded to have respect unto God. And how that a child of God in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament would act. In Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord." And notice this, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." What's God saying there? God is saying, those to whom I will look, those of whom I will acknowledge are those who have respect for me. Back to the Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We see that the penman was directed by the Spirit to tell them how they should react if they had respect for God. "Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." This is meaning that we should forget them. Several years ago, my wife presented me with a list of scriptures, and she said, "We're going to learn these." I said, "Okay." That list grew. It's like the carrot being put out there in front of the mule. I'm the mule, by the way. And as long as I can see that carrot and I can go going for that carrot, I'm moving forward. I'm getting closer to my destination. As I felt confident in the fact that I would learn that scripture and this scripture and this other scripture, she would say, "Well, this is another good one, and we're going to add it to the list." And yes, we worked diligently, and we got to the point where we began to quiz one another. And then one day she said, "Wow, we haven't been looking at that list lately. Can you quote this verse?" I was caught off guard. What did I do? Well, I went the way of humans. I made an excuse. I hadn't even been thinking about that. Let me think about it a minute. Could I quote it? No. Why? Because I let them slip. Why? Because I didn't continue studying it. Talking to a preacher one time, and he said, "Well, I don't memorize scripture." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because if you don't continue to memorize it and continue to go over it, you will lose it. I would rather be able to recall it as I need it for particular reasons and situations, and rote memorization doesn't do that." He is correct. I'm not saying it's not good to recall Scripture. It's not, I'm not saying it's not good to memorize Scripture. I'm using this as an example to show you what the penman was saying to the Hebrews. Let us give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we shall neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them which heard him? Did you notice how many times hear and heard was used there? These people were to be careful about what they hear, and if their lack of respect for God will cause them not to hear, not to absorb, not to take in the word of God. Those who neglect God's great salvation have no respect for God. Why? Because they don't hear God. Respect for God should permeate every aspect of our life. We, those of us who have obeyed the gospel, are Christians. And I mean this in the truest sense of the word Christian. Oftentimes you hear about people talking about in all Christendom. But what does that mean? Well, that means Christians everywhere. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about all the religious people in the world. Friends, religious people does not equate to Christianity. A Christian is a person who, first and foremost, heard the gospel. Secondly, they obeyed the gospel. Why? Because they have respect for God. And anybody that obeys the gospel for any other reason will not maintain their relationship with the people who even taught them. They won't have a relationship with God because they've not obeyed properly. But respect for God should permeate every aspect of the life of every Christian. People say, well, I got all these other things to do. We all have a lot to do. We all have lives to live. We all have responsibilities. But as Christians, we are all to have respect for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. We see that respect for God should permeate our life. The Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to those Corinthian brethren in this second letter. He says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. For we are unto God a sweet-smelling savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are perished." In other words, the actions that we produce are not superficial. We don't mock God. We hear the word of God, listen to the word of God, grow in the knowledge of the word of God, and it should affect our lives. He goes on to explain in verse 16, "To the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Now, in verse 17, he's directed to write, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." They handle the word aright. They study to show themselves approved. They dig deep into the word. You ever try to dig with a flat shovel? Now, I'm serious. People say, well, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it if it's sand. But try to really dig a hole with a flat shovel. People say, well, what's the shovel designed for if it's not for to dig? It is to scoop shallowly. And a lot of people need to trade their shovels in. They need to get a real shovel. They need to dig deep into the word. And people say, well, we understand the first principles. They misunderstand the passage that talks about first principles. But when they say they understand the first principles, they say, oh yeah, we know what the Bible says to do to be saved. And after that, none of it really matters. Yes, it does, friends. Because if it doesn't matter, you have no respect for God. That's why the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 was directed to write to those brethren scattered across the area of Galatia in those various churches. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And people say, well, but weren't you alive before? Yes, you were physically alive, but spiritually dead. What about now? He's not only physically alive, but because he wrote this, he penned these words. We know he was physically alive at that point, but he was also spiritually alive. Why? Because Christ liveth in him. Why? Because he had respect for God. When he found out what he was doing was wrong, what did he do? He changed it. He didn't have to mess around. Oh, he was a little confused. He said, take me to Damascus. That's where I was going anyway. They led him by the hand to Damascus. And he prayed for 3 days. Ananias was sent to him. And Ananias told him what to do to be saved. People said, see, he changed his life. He became a Christian. Then read about the rest of the life of Paul. Why Paul was chosen to write this. And in the latter part of this passage, it says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, what happened? He had a newfound respect for God. He was doing what was wrong before, even though he thought he was doing what was right. Now he has a newfound respect for God, and he's going to live that life. And he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what the Galatians needed to know. That's what you and I need to know, that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross so that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Therefore, we should have respect for God, but we also need to have respect for God so that we do things right. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. People are very confused about that. A lot of people who do not have respect for God, because they really don't look into it, they get that flat shovel out and scoop a little bit and say, oh, and here's a phrase right here. We can say, we're doing this in the name of the Lord. Put Jesus on the front of their building or on their sign out in the front. Say, well, yep, we're being religious. We're following Jesus. Had somebody tell me one time when we were discussing the condition of a soul, that they think that they were doing just what the Lord would have them do. I said, what is it that makes you think that you're doing just what the Lord would have you do? Because I'm following my Jesus. In all sincerity, I ask the person, is your Jesus any different from anybody else's? The way we follow Jesus is to have respect for God and do what God says in his word. When he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God, in other words, I live in accordance to what God has said to do in his word. And whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. Where do we find that? We find it in God's word. And if we have respect for God's word, we will look into there. And we will do the things that we do in accordance to the word of God. We will show our respect for God. The question this morning is, do you truly respect God? Most people will just nod affirmatively. Most people will say, yes, I do. Where's the evidence? If you do, you will be obedient to him. But you've got to start at the beginning. You cannot just jump into the stream and say, here I am. You've got to start at the beginning. You have to be obedient to God to become his child, to show that first and foremost you love the Lord, that you respect God, that you will follow his word, and following his word has to begin at the beginning. You must obey the gospel. You have to become his child. As is often said, you have to become before you can be. You have to become a Christian before you can be. You had to be born before you were a baby. Same thing applies spiritually. Then you have to live the rest of your life in an even deepening respect for God as you prepare yourself for eternity. I was watching a movie one time, and I've heard this said by several different people. They were talking about their spouse, and they made the statement, either in the movie or somebody has said it, I myself have said it because I saw it in a movie or I heard it or I think it's a great thing. When they look at their spouse and they say, I love you more today than I did when I first realized I loved you. How many people can say that about God? About their relationship with God. that they love God more now than they did when they first learned the truth about God. That they have more respect for God now than they did when they first obeyed the gospel. The truth of the matter is that, like most every relationship, through our fault, not God's, there are ebbs and flows. We heat up, we cool down. Why? Because at times we don't have the respect for God that we should. We, as Christians, should have an ever-deepening respect for God as we prepare ourselves for eternity. If you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel, you can show your respect to God this morning and the care that you have for your own soul by being obedient to the gospel. You might very well say, well, I'm not real sure as to how to do that because there's all these people giving all these different plans. Somebody came up on the porch and left a little tract and said, ask Jesus into your heart or say this little prayer. No, what does God's word say? We respect God. We go to the source. God's word says that one is to hear the word of God in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and to thy doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. By the way, at the time this was written, Timothy was already a Christian. But we got to remain saved, and we'll get to that in a minute. But he said, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy was to be preaching the word of God. We are to believe. John 8:24, Jesus said, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, one is to repent. As the apostles put forth, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. One must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is an absolute requirement. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And yes, one must be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. One cannot be baptized, or one cannot be saved without being baptized into Christ. And it has to be the right baptism, based upon the right teaching. And then you show your respect unto God. In the latter part of it, it says the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We show our respect to God by doing the things that he said. However, once we have done these things, we must remain faithful unto death. And that shows that we have a continuing and ongoing respect for God. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It goes on to say it would be better for them had they never been born. But what happens when one fails to respect God as a Christian and stumbles and falls and sins and becomes involved in a life of sin? They've separated themselves from God. They've showed a total lack of respect for God. But they can come back to him. They can renew that relationship with him. They do it through repentance and prayer. Prayer alone won't do it. Repentance alone won't do it. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we're told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Do you respect God this morning? What's your relationship with him? If it's not in accordance to the Bible, it needs to be. You have that opportunity this morning. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the selected song. We'll sing the first two verses. Give you the opportunity to respond to a gospel call. Let us stand and let us sing.